The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, our partnership with God is based on Him, and He will never let us forget it. No matter what portion we contribute to, we could not do it if it weren't gifted to us from God. Next, what do we do when everything is so far out of control? We let go of the reins. The most challenging moment in our walk is when we turn the power, the flight, and the landing into the hands of God. And finally, the biggest catch from all this reality is how we are supposed to respond. What does God want us to do in the meantime? What does God expect from us while we're watching the whirlwind swirl about and we feel like we are in the land of Oz?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. That's the email. Just got an email. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. You're going to love this one. When you call 972-445-0770, Terrific T will answer the phone. And that's just like putting something together from IKEA with no leftover parts. Oh, sweet that is. It's like, I don't even have any leftover parts. Don't you ever? I've done that, and I've gone, what does this go to?
Yes. I swear the directions don't tell anything.
It's like, what is it? We have in our tool chest, we have a little thing where there's like five or six extra pieces from different parts. It's just too funny. Anyway, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you can reach out to us for the reason. What's the reason? The reason is you can share a praise report or you can ask about a prayer request, something that's going on in your life that everybody can join in and pray. We had a brother just send in a great thing, say, don't forget about the push principle. Pray until something happens. Push. Excellent job, brother. Bottom line on this is that we want to be collective in this. We want to do the praise reports. We want to also do Bible trivia. We want to, you know, if there's something going on or something really heavy, you want to just help one another, encourage one another, strengthen the one another as the Lord has called us to do. That's what this show is geared towards. With that in mind, let's open up with the first trivia question. Not something too difficult. Doesn't have to be answered perfectly, but you'll get the general idea. What happened to Jacob when he wrestled with God? What happened to him? Now, he did secure a blessing, so that would be accurate. Okay, so anybody saying, well, he held on to it, got blessed, that's right. But something happened. There was kind of a backdoor thing that happened that maybe was not the greatest moment ever. What happened to Jacob when he wrestled with God? If you want to figure out what that answer is, you know what it is. You can call in, by the way, at 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. So either one will work that way. Don't forget Genesis 32 is where this is located. So if you're trying to figure that out. So again, if you want to call in, good time to do it. Let's see. We got that. That's the trivia question. Somebody's calling in. Let me just tell you, so you can be aware, any topic is open for conversation on the show, primarily because it's not professional radio. It's just radio, and hardly that. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Are we having fun yet? Boy, I hope you're having fun. I'm having fun. Push. I really like that. Pray until something happens, you know? Now, with something happens, people are like, well, should I be thankful? Should I be expectant? Should I be persistent? All of those. All of those always. That's my answer. Yes. That's how you should be. Are we ready for somebody? Okay, here we go. I'm going to lean over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Al. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Al. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Just got out of about 2 miles worth of traffic on I-20, and I finally got through it. So,
you know, getting through it traffic, isn't that a blessing? You know, yeah. You're getting through it.
It is.
It's a blessing. All right, my good friend. What happened to Jacob when he wrestled with God? What happened to him? Now, he did secure a blessing, but he had something happen that maybe wasn't as positive. What was that?
Touched his hip and took his hip out of the socket.
That is correct, sir. That is exactly correct. So it's unfortunately for all of us, it's a pretty good picture that sometimes you got to hang on and get a blessing, but it might hurt a little. That's what it might hurt a little bit.
So maybe you can help explain this a little bit. I've always wondered about how a man wrestled with God and was able to hold on. It just doesn't seem like that would be possible for a man to hold on to God like that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The thing is, that was an angel versus, you know, God himself. It was an angel of the Lord's army. And in many of the manifestations in the Old Testament, the angels not just represented, but God's presence was in them and upon them. So he had an actual creature form. Remember when Jacob first saw him, he was like, are you for us or are you for them? You know, he's like, because it was like a regular person encounter. So this was a manifestation more in a physical form versus God like coming off the throne and then hanging out in a big giant fuzzy ball. He was in the presence of the angel, and the angel was angel that represented the army of the Lord. Some people think it was Michael. I don't really think that that's correct, but it was definitely an angel of the Lord, one who spoke for him, and one that was a definite military element. So Joshua, getting ready to go in that battle, grabs hold of him and goes, nah, I'm not letting go. You bless me. And he probably knew he was in for a dogfight, you know, to some degree. And it was just great how he did it. He said, fine, you're blessed. now walk a straight line, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Awesome. Excellent question. Excellent follow-up question. Really good, Al. Really good work.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Brother.
All right. God bless you. All right. Bye-bye. Love it. Okay. So good job. Good job. Everybody's doing a good job. All right, this setup is going to take a while, and you just might as well just take a deep breath. I want to talk about this partnership with God process. And by the way, anybody who's like, oh, I got an opinion on the angel and Jacob, you can always text in or call in. I never mind stuff like that. You know, I give a take. That doesn't mean, oh, that's absolutely correct. So that's one take. You probably have a take. There's many takes. Remember, there's 12 disciples. Remember, there's 12 tribes in Israel. I bet they all didn't have the same favorite meal. Just call me crazy. All right, I want to talk to you about this one passage, and then we'll move it forward to the next level. The Lord, this is Judges chapter 6, verse 14 through 16, dealing with Gideon. Just a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous story. I love reading Judges. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? But Lord, Gideon asked. By the way, that's what you and I always say. But Lord, But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. So it wasn't as though Gideon was being dishonest in the context that he was saying, we're kind of like the least in the tribes, and I'm kind of like the weak in the least link here, and I just, how can you say go in the strength? I don't have any strength. I'm not very very strong, not very wise, not very anything, and this just doesn't seem like brilliance. He's not trying to be rebellious against God. He's like, how? And the Lord God answers by saying this, and this is what you and I need to remember. How? Here is the answer. How? That's me paraphrasing. The Lord answered, I will be with you. I will be with you. Five best words ever spoken. Right? I will. You know how you're going to do it? Even though you're the least in the tribe? Even though you're the least in of the tribes of the 12 tribes and you're the least within that least tribe? You know how you're going to pull this off? I'm going to be with you. And that's how we're going to get it done. That's what he said to Moses. That's what he said to Joshua. Isn't that amazing? That's what he says to us when Jesus is born, God with us. I am going to be with you and you will prevail. That's the opener for where we're heading. I got to exit here and we've got more coming up. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break.
Can't stand this guilt, can't stand this shame. It may be false.
You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know, a little
Telling
bit
me the
of,
show's all about you?
Well, this segment is.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in Scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's a, kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get ready for our next trivia question. You ready for the next one? All right, here we go. You know, I got a joke. Now, you're going to have to make a decision, so I'm gonna drop this on T.
You're always giving me hard decisions.
I know. It's bad enough I have to make you listen to the show, because you had to sit through there an hour and a half every day. If I were you, I'd be like, I need a pay raise. That's what I would be saying all the time. Okay, here you go. Here's the trivia question. What caused the large fish, not the whale, the large fish to vomit Jonah onto dry land? Specifically, Jonah chapter 2, what caused the large fish to do it? Okay, something had to cause it. Okay. Probably not that there was a window on the side of the fish and they had a fire going, but what caused it? Just straightforward. Eric picked up on it right away. Very nice. You can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. It's not a trick question, but it's like sometimes questions and stuff like that are simpler than you think. Okay, so I have two jokes. One of them is more sanctified than the other. Okay, one is more holy. I guess that's the only way to put it. The shorter one is funnier, but somebody's going to... I've already had somebody so mad about a joke, they just won't listen to the show anymore. Over a joke. It's like, I said, well, God bless you. So what else am I supposed to say? I'm not going to stop telling jokes because of that. You're going to be kidding me. Life revolves around that. You should see my house. Anyway, so I've got a Christmas in July joke, okay? Which I'll give a disclaimer to, or a pastor getting shaved, which is more sanctified. Which, what are you in the mood for? It doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't even care.
I kind of want the Christmas in July.
Okay. All right. I'm going to do it. Okay. Here we go. All right. So here's the bottom line to this one. This is not supporting any position that this joke tells. We don't want to offend anybody in the I'm giving a disclaimer for a joke. How funny is that? That's a good joke in and of itself. This is a joke, a humorous twist on the human language and
thought.
Laugh.
Yeah. They gotta laugh, people.
Okay, gotta laugh. An old Scottish man calls his son in London the day before Christmas Eve and says, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are splitting apart. 45 years of misery, that's enough. Dad, what are you talking about? The son gasps. We can't stand each other any longer, the father said. We're sick of each other. I'm sick of talking about this, so you call your sister and you tell her. In a panic, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. Over my dead body, they're getting divorced, she shouts. I'll take care of this. She calls Scotland immediately and admonishes her father. You are not getting divorced. She said, do not do a single thing until I get there, and I'm calling my brother back, and we'll both be there tomorrow. Until then, don't you do a thing. You hear me? And she hangs up. And then the old man hangs up the phone and turns to his wife and said, there, all finished. They're both coming for Christmas, and they're both paying their own way. Come on. What do you think of that? That's funny. I thought it was funny, too. I was like, that's hilarious.
It's honestly a smart way to really just get your kids to come back.
Yeah. Like, create an emergency. I mean, we did this when we did our April Fool's joke. Oh, come on. That is just classic. Legendary. Now, somebody's going to email me, and I'm going to say the same thing to them as I say to everybody that does this.
It's a good prank. I feel like that'd be a good prank to have.
Yeah. Is that a great... That's so fun. All right, what are we doing? All right, let's go back to our teaching. I'm having fun. Leave me alone. I got most of my homework done, but I have 100 pages. For me, it's only 100 pages that I have to read in the next couple of days, which is great. It's like that's like a day off. But between me and the dog and Bert, the puppy, I got 100 stories to tell you, not the least of which is I came home yesterday, by the way, and the chairs around the table were on the floor. And what happened was that Noelle had a blanket on the backs of the chair, and the dog apparently grabbed the blanket, and that force-wise, brought the chairs down. I'd like to have been in the room when those chairs went bam, 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 bam. That must have been funny. Anyway, all right, let me get to this text. Don't forget our trivia question. Straightforward. What caused the large fish to vomit Jonah onto the day? Al, of course, already gave his 2 cents. He said sushi. No, that's not going to be. That's a good answer, but that's not going to be right. All right, let me go into this. We were talking about partnership with God and Gideon. Fantastic story. All of this is a wonderful story, but God says to Gideon, go on the strength you have. Gideon responds, how am I supposed to do that? I don't have any strength. And God says, I will be with you. Okay, that's where the strength comes from, that the Lord is with us. All right? Here's what Judges 7:1-3 says. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, so he had a secondary name, and all of his men camped around the spring of Arad. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained. So they started with 30,000 and two-thirds leave. And I don't know if you've been in a room where two-thirds of the people leave, but it's a lot. It's a lot. If there's 21 people, 14 people just left. Well, this is in the thousands, right? So you think, oh, so what? There's 10,000. There's still 10,000 people left. Well, first of all, they're fighting 135,000 people. So you would think 30,000, 135,000, that's going to be interesting. But now it's 10,000 against 135,000. And so here's what's spoken. The Lord, in his grace and wisdom, says, you have too many men for me to deliver them into your hands. I can't really allow this to go this way because Israel will boast that Israel did it. And here's what the lesson is. You got too many backdoor opportunities to get out of this situation. Yeah, I'm not going to let you do that. I'm going to take it down to the very nub. And it's like, wait, what? So God is like, I'm going to strip this down so that when it happens, all you can do is go, well, that has to be a miracle. And you just have to catch what's going on. But this guy Gideon, he's like, he's already feels like he's in over his head. The Lord promises to be with him. And then he's got as whatever resources he can get. And God says, you need less resources. I'm not sure I could have maintained the faith. Now, he had his problems, and that was have to do with, putting a fleece out. Maybe we'll cover that. But the bottom line is that God doesn't need multiple supplies to get the work done. Think of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and 5,000 men fed besides women and children, which probably means it was closer to 10,000. Just consider the ramifications of God stripping so that the result can be definite that it was God who created the victory. And think about that for yourself. Think about the lesson. Here, God puts this in Holy Writ for a reason. The lesson is it's stripped down so low, so low. You're like going, wait, this is not comfortable. Have you ever gotten to that place where you're dealing with something in life and you're just, I'm just not comfortable. This is not that you're making a decision for direction. I'm talking about you're in a spiritual war or you're in some form of battle and you're just like, I just feel like unarmed. I feel like I'm not protected. I feel like I'm not, the only thing I can do is lean on the Lord. Get it? And we know from 1 Corinthians 1, 26, 7, 8, 9, look, no flesh is going to boast before him. God didn't choose, God, just what it says, think of what you were when you were called, okay? Here's what it says. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. The whole reason that God allows the stripping process to take place in the first place is so that nobody can go, I did it. And if you don't think that's a problem for America, you're way, way wrong. Because you got one group of people saying the government did it. You got another group of people saying the people did it. And the only one who's getting no credit is God. And that's a problem. Because God doesn't like that. When Israel did that, he chastened them severely. You can't get away from that. It's like, whoa. Like, woo. Like, yeah, yeah. So the Lord sometimes strips it down so that you can go, ah, ba, 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 ba. Ah, ba, 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 ba. You see what I'm saying? So you see what I'm saying? Okay, look, I know you don't say ah, ba, 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 but I do. I look up at God and I go, I was just sent this, I think, to Al the other day. I said, well, what are you going to do now? I mean, that's the reality check. Right? That's the real, honest, earnest. You just being, listen, if you don't think that people question God, just go to Psalm 41, 42, 43, 44, and 45 and circle every time David says, why? 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 All right. We got a call. So we'll, with the call we'll take, and then we'll go a little longer is all we'll do. Okay. All right. Ready? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Joy Ann. I love your sermon.
Oh,
and the Lord does allow
you.
Stripping, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Doesn't he? He's into the pruning thing. There's just no way around
yes.
it.
Yes. And we've experienced pruning, but we just feel so blessed that he privileges us with that ability to have the Holy Spirit's help to endure and to see the bright side. We have a glorious future. I
absolutely.
Do have an answer to the trivia question, and I would love to share a prayer request, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely, positively. All right, what caused the large fish, we already said not sushi, what caused the large fish to vomit Jonah onto the dry land?
Well, of course, the Lord commanded the fish, and the fish obeyed.
Absolutely correct. Yes. The Lord said, time for a little throw up. The
yes.
fish went, okie dokie.
And I always want to obey. And you know what, David? You do help my sister and me to have the tools and, you know, the humor and the joy of the Lord to obey. And our goal is always to be a witness and to be resilient. I will share this real quickly. In the past year and a half, Cordelia and I have experienced unusual hardships, being displaced 4 times. And part of that is being separated from my husband, my beloved husband, Stan. We've been married 36 years, but he's into UFOs and aliens and the, you know, new age. So he didn't want a Christian wife in the house. So I now have the freedom right now to listen to David Spoon almost daily and other wonderful blessings. But Cordelia and I are the subject of a lawsuit, one that appears to be very unfair, but the Lord is using it and teaching us humility. And in 1 Corinthians 6:7, the Apostle Paul says, you know, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? So we are just striving to be, you know, resilient and humble. And it looks like the lawsuit may be coming to a close, but would you all pray, you know, for favor? We would love that.
Absolutely. Let's pray right now. And I want everybody in the audience to be connecting with us in this time of prayer, everybody together in this process. Let's lift it up before the Lord. Father, we come before you right now, and we have two very precious sisters. We love them in you, Lord. They're our sisters. They're our blood relatives. They have the same dad. That's you. We drink from the same Holy Spirit. And we're just so proud of the things and so blessed by the things that you've done in their lives and the great witnesses and the great touches. You've touched them physically. You've touched them emotionally. You've touched them spiritually. And we're so blessed to just be connected to that. It's fantastic. But Lord, they're going through quite the storm. And in through quite the storm, you are the answer. There is no, you are the key. You are the anchor through every storm that we go through. And we're asking not, Lord God, that they would turn around and they'd be multimillionaires or some weird thing like that. We're simply asking that your name would be glorified and honored in this process, that their faith would be strengthened in you and in your kingdom, and their witness would be expanded in lieu of this circumstance, and you would bring this about swiftly. Instead of this dragging on and dragging on, you bring it to a close and allow them to have that freedom to say, that was then and this is now. And that freedom to be able to say, the Lord has delivered us, put our feet upon a rock, and put a new song in our hearts. And that it would be to your glory. Now, Lord, you know justice and injustice. There's nobody who knows this like you. So we ask you that whatever way that's going to break, we ask you to protect your kids. Watch over those that call upon your name. And allow your grace into the situation. And flood both of their hearts, both for Cordelia and for Joanne, both their hearts with a peace that passes all understanding. Doesn't have to make sense. Just got to be from you. That's all it's got to be. And we just ask for that, and we believe you for that, and we hope for that, and we petition you for that as a group. Two or more get together and agree upon something, it shall be done. And we ask you, Lord, to allow it to be done. Stamp it so that it will be so. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Oh, amen, kind David. You just made me cry happy tears, and I know this will bring glory to the Lord. And please know that we pray for Julianne and Jared and Easton Scott, all your beautiful family. And we remember the audience, too. We have fallen in love with the different people who have called in, and we feel for them and with them. Everybody has a story, but we all have some praise stories. We're going to have so much fun in heaven telling about all the answered prayers. So thank you for letting me elaborate, and I'll let you get back to the sermon.
Okay.
thank you, David.
You are such
God
a blessing. My privilege to be a part of it and to be connected to you.
Oh, thank you. We accept that so gratefully. Thank you, David.
You
bless
got it.
You.
Bless
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. See, we got, and then when she said that diverse, we have a really diverse background. So for those that don't know, on my test on those things that we did, and we can skip the thing altogether. On the tests that we did, the surveys that we did, we had 7 different denominations. Already they're like going, how'd you get 7 different denominations? So like, well, I guess if you're like a Christian with other Christians, as opposed to just in the pews that you attend, that would be the way to do it, right? Is that cool? Aren't they sweet? Aren't they just the wonderful people?
I just love them.
They
are the sweetest.
All right. We're going to forego our normal break time because there's no – I mean, I don't have to do it. I mean, we're not going to do it, so we're just going to go straight forward because I just got so much stuff to do. So here's the thing, though. Keep them in prayer. You get a – so if you're having – I can't remember their full names. I can't say it all the way. So just think of Joy and Cordy. That's what we basically would call them, but it's Joanne and Cordelia. But think of that and pray for them and pray that the Lord strengthens them and recognize that your faith in participating in their lives matters. It matters to God because he brought it into your universe because he did it through this show. That's what's so cool. You can't get away from that. All right. Let's skip over to that. We do want to do the website, and we do want to do history, and then we'll get right back into the teaching. So let's not forget the website because we, you got to pay rent and like, what is today? Like the 20, it's like the 20 whatever. It's getting closer. Let me just say we got to pay it. We always pay in the rears. We do the best we can. So don't forget the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All righty. So, because we didn't take the break, we're just going to offer up another trivia question because we're just doing it a little different. Nothing weird happening. Everybody take a deep breath. Very challenging question, though. Good challenging question. Can I say that? I'm going to say that. Which person in the Bible in the New Testament, Okay, so that narrows that down. You had 66. Now you can get rid of the other 39 and just concentrate on the 27 for the answer to this trivia question. Which person in the Bible saw a city coming down out of heaven? Ooh. Which person saw a city coming down out of heaven? Okay? And I want the texters to know, by the way, everybody who texted and got the answer right on the last trivia question, this trivia question, which person in the Bible saw a city, New Testament, coming down out of heaven? If you think you know, you can either call in 972-445-0770 or you can text 214-210-8483. And we got to do history. So let's do history real fast.
Let's go live.
Okie dokie, artichokey. That's professional Christianism right there. Okie dokie,
at its finest.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get any more theological than that. Okay, today is Administrative Professionals Day, which is really, I mean, that's the people that help all the people that are at the front. I do think they're very unsung. I think there's very unsung people that do the jobs that nobody sees, that support the people that do the bigger jobs. And I'll just say it's like, you know, like people who are like nurses or administrative people in schools or people behind the scenes. I mean, I know that Noelle works really hard as a manager and she puts in way too much time. But the people that help her, if they didn't help her, not a chance. Zero. I mean, just zero chance, okay? It's also Kindergarten Day. I went to kindergarten. That was
I did, too.
Yeah. I remember my one son, the kindergarten teacher, said, I want you to make me a first grader. That's what he said after he graduated kindergarten. And he goes, and the guy touched him on the head. He goes, ding! He goes, you're a first grader. I always thought that was so funny. National Chocolate-Covered Cashews, okay? I like chocolate-covered anything, but I'm more almonds than cashews. Cashews
are that's a little odd.
Yeah, well, what do you want? It's Bulldogs Are Beautiful Day, okay? I buy that. I mean, my son had a couple of bulldogs. Do you like bulldogs or no?
I mean, I like bulldogs, but the whole they're cute, that's...
Well, Levi's a boxer, but it looks like they hit him in the face with a shovel repeatedly before we got him. That's all I can say. And then it's National Tea Day, and a lot of people don't know this about me, but I have been drinking tea at night for about 16 years in a row. How about that? That's a long time. I have tea right here. See? I like tea.
I feel like it's a national holiday for me. It's tea day.
It's tea. Oh, that is so good. I cannot believe I did not pick up on that. Wow. It's tea day.
It's tea day.
That's excellent. That's really, really, really good. It's tea day. Oh, I love it. All right. Let's get to the teaching. I'm not going to do any more history. It's tea. Just remember, it's tea day. There you go. That's so good. I can't believe I didn't pick up.
If any pizza orders, call in meat lovers, please.
She's a meat lovers fan, people. Okay. All right, let's go back to this. I just want to make sure you understand what's going on. So Gideon, not excited about God, you know, go in your strength. He's like, I have no strength. God said, I'll go with you. That will be your strength. And he's like, okay. Then they get into the situation, and God's like, you got too many people. And he's like, okay, all right. And so God cuts him from 30,000 down to 10,000, okay? So it seems to me like that's a intense moment, right? Judges chapter 7, verse 4 through 7, the very next segment. There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I'll sift them there for you. Then if I say this one shall go, he shall go, and if this one shall not, he shall not. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down and drink. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouth. The rest got down on their knees to drink. So he separated those who drank like dogs from those who didn't. Those who didn't are the 300 men. He goes, use these guys. I just have to give you this full picture, or you won't really appreciate this. He starts with 30,000. Now, I'm not sure if you know about it. So 30,000, and then from 30,000, 10% of 30,000, in case you want to know, is 3,000. 1% of 30,000 is 300. God took their number and dropped it by 99%. 99% of what they had, God said, yeah, then no. So you know we were just talking about stripping? Well, take that down to a whole nother level. Because he took it down from 30,000 to 10,000 to 300. And he goes, now we're ready. 2 Corinthians 1:8 through 10. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Pretty fascinating that in that text, in verse 10, Paul uses three tenses, past, present, and future, in regards to God's deliverance. He has delivered us, he will deliver us, and he continues to deliver us. Very fascinating, actually, especially in the Greek. But here's the bottom line. Beyond, they were so bad, they were desperate, it was horrible, but all that so that they would not depend on themselves but on God who raises the dead. The reason it says dependent on God who raises the dead is to show you that God can do anything, including raising the dead. So he can certainly turn about your circumstance. Because if God can raise the dead, he can do what he wants. And so that stripping process just went one more level down, one more little level down. And God's like, are you completely out? You're all the way down from 100 to 1%? Now we're moving forward. Is that amazing? Okay. All right, trivia question. What was the trivia question? I got to remember the trivia question. The trivia question was, what did I ask? I don't remember now. Who saw the city coming down? That was John. That was John in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. John, the Apostle John in the book of Revelation 21:2. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, I do have another trivia question. It is a little tougher, so I'm going to tell you ahead of time the address, okay? Because that helps a little bit. It's in Acts chapter 10. What was the name of the centurion from Caesarea who was part of the Italian band? You remember the guy that called for Peter? Okay. And don't say, oh, the Italian band. Must have been Billy Joel. No. Okay. Let's get back there. What was the name of the centurion from Caesarea who was part of the Italian band? If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. The answer is in the book of Acts. There is nothing being derogatorily said. I'm just simply quoting history. Okay? So just kind of work that through. Where are we at? What do we got to do? Website. Let's do the website again just because it is important and we need the help. So let's do that. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, HeMustIncrease Ministry. YouTube, HeMustIncrease Ministry. Okie dokie. I was going to do the Hebrew word, but I'm going to skip that because I want to finish off on this teaching. It's this part's really important. This is an important part of it. That doesn't mean that you should hesitate to call in to answer the trivia question, or you should text in. It's totally fine. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get this point through one way or another. What was the name of the centurion from Caesarea who was part of the Italian band? The answer is in Acts chapter 10. If you know, give us a holla. Hello, 972-445-0770, or text 214-210-8483, or email David at HeMustIncrease.org. So we are at the point in this story where you're just sitting there and you're going, wow, that poor guy Gideon. Okay, now we have somebody calling in, so we'll go ahead and answer that. But that poor guy, you know, 30,000, 10,000, 3,000, it's just like, wow, it's like, Wow. That's my answer. It's like, it's at this point, I think it's not abnormal to think he would have been like, hey, this is getting to be ridiculous. But we're going to go into what he does, because that then there becomes the big key. So let's answer the trivia, and then we'll go from there. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Hi, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, you're talking with Virginia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very good. Thank you.
Awesome. Very glad to hear that. Okay. Straightforward trivia question. Kind of a challenge if you're not familiar with it, but what was the name of the centurion from Caesarea who was part of the Italian band?
I want to say Cornelius.
That is correct, Amando! Absolutely, absolutely correct. So he was the one who had asked for Peter, and then that was the whole transition when the gospel went from the Jewish people then to the Gentile people. That moment was pivotal. He was a very diligent man, and the Lord chose him, and then he had all his family gather together. Excellent job. Did you know right away who that was?
Yes, I did.
Oh, good for you. That's good. That's excellent work. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
God bless.
God bless you.
Right, there we go. Yay. All right. All right, so Cornelius was the guy. Cornelius was his name. Let's see. That's trivia. We did that. We're going to skip the Hebrew word. I'm going to wait on that because I just don't have time. I'll never get this done. All right, so let me do this real fast. What do we got? Okay. So what I want you to catch is that if you're Gideon in this process and just being honest, just going through the scripture, that, you know, it's like God says, go do it. I can't do it. Yes, you can. I'm with you. Okay, we're going to go do it together. Then Gideon has 30,000 people. Then he's got 10,000 people. Now he's got 300 people. Okay, that's a big switch. That, to me, that second tier is a bigger switch, because from 30,000 to 10,000, my brain can still work that. But from 10,000 to 300 against 135,000, that's where my brain doesn't, you know, it's like, ding, wait, what happened? So why that's important is because it's important to understand that the situation can get so far out of control from our perspective that, again, and as we said before, only a miracle from God can give the answer. But my big teach in this is, what do we do when we let go of the reins? In other words, what is our position while we're trusting God to do his position? What is our responsibility while we're fighting through, okay, let's be honest, we're fighting through like the flesh a little bit and trying to maintain our good position of faith. And the answer is actually a little easier than you think, though hard to do it. But the answer in and of itself is easier than you think. Judges chapter 7, verse 15. This is right after Gideon had the dream of reinsurance from the Lord. When Gideon, somebody interpreted the dream in regards to Gideon, sorry, my bad, about the people in the camp who had the dream, and then he heard the interpretation. Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation. He worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Two really major important points here. One, he worshiped God. And so our first and foremost place, when you give up the reins, I know it's so difficult, and when you trust that the Lord, it's like an airplane, we have some people that understand this, when you get the route is established by God, the takeoff is established by God, the ride is established by God, the landing is established by God, because God has to be at the center of it. And so he worshiped. And that is our first and foremost place to be. I mean, Paul even said, first I thank my God in Romans. There's this unquestionable, undeniable requirement for Christians, especially us who have a better written revelation than they had even in the Old Testament, is that is to see that God takes every circumstance and weaves it for a purpose and for a plan and for his glory. And we are to be a worshipful, praiseful, thankful people. And you think, well, who can thank God for this situation? A person who genuinely believes God cares. That's who. That's your answer. And so there's this worshipfulness, and then there's another thing that he has to do. And in Judges 17:21, it says, while each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. The worshipfulness is a part of it, and then standing firm is the next part of it. You just got to stand there. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, 13, and 14. Stand, stand, stand three times. Three times we're told, stand there, stand, stand. Sometimes you just worship God and stand there. And yeah, you'd be a bulldog. It's ironic that today is a beautiful like a bulldog day, because sometimes you got to have that bulldog attitude of faith going, yep, I'm staying right here. I'm not going nowhere. I am right here. And so that verse, each man held his position. Like, nope, here I am. Okay, standing right here, Lord, until you show me deliverance. And that faith, which God loves, by the way, remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those that seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It's really important to understand. God loves that tenacious faith. In fact, Jesus taught us to pray with that tenacious faith. And so the first position is worship. When Gideon heard the dream and the interpretation, Judges 7:15, he worshiped God. Hallelujah. I mean, isn't that cool? That's just cool. And then Judges 7:21, each man held his position. And that's what you do. Because it doesn't matter what you and I think of how it should have been, or, and we've talked about this numerous times, the methodology that we think God should have used, that doesn't matter. The timing we think God should have done, that doesn't matter. You pray a prayer, it's not up to you to give the parameters as to how that should be answered. It's not up to me. And believe me, I've tried. I've tried to manipulate God. I can't even count how many times and how many ways. I'm just being honest. Don't be, oh, Lord, if you'll just do this, then I'll do this. Oh, Lord, look at me. Can't you see what I'm going through? You know, just like the apostles. Lord, wake up. Don't you care that we're going to drown? Same thing. Just makes me feel like a regular believer because I'm like they are. They are like I am. And they are like you are. And you are like them. And so the idea is to worship the Lord and stand firm. Are you going to tell me that's a solution? You bet. How'd that work out for the boys that stood up to Nebuchadnezzar? Which those guys should have been, I mean, talk about a flamethrower. I mean, that should have been it. Right? And the fire had no power on them. Oh, my. Just like the lions had no power on Daniel. That's up to God. He's in charge of this thing. So we worship him, and we stand firm, and we praise him, we appreciate him. Look at how many things God has brought you through. You think, oh, I'm going through a really tough trial. I get it. I go through tough trials. It's terrible. I mean, everything. I wish everything was ice cream and lollipops. It's just not. But because somebody is with me forever and ever, and this is but a foretaste of what is coming, I'm confident that this light and momentary trouble will be far outweighed by the glory that's going to be revealed, just as the scripture says. I think you guys get that. Let it sink in. Let it be a part of you. Let it be a part of your meditation. It's good stuff. Worship and stand firm in the Lord. Okay? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Destroying everyone and everything he finds. He's the hungry child.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.